Today on the Pure Sweat Basketball Show,
toughness is telling your teammate, hey man, you can't do that. That's not our culture.
Maybe I led you to believe it was easy when it wasn't. Maybe I made you think my highlights started at the free throw line and not in the gym.
Turn my headphones up!
Let's eliminate the will to win and think about the will to prepare to win.
That's how winning is done.
It's about being a great teammate. It's about being accountable to one another. It's about being tough. It's about doing the right things for each other, but it's about doing it every day.
This is Fran Frischeller from ESPN, and you are listening to the Pure Sweat Basketball Show.
Thanks for tuning into the show that takes a hard look into every aspect of the game and makes every episode a micro clinic. I'm your host, Alan Stein. Today's show is brought to you by Dr. Dish, the most advanced shooting machine in the world. In today's episode, I sit down with Duke Women's Basketball Associate Head Coach Hernando Planels to talk about the Duke culture. But before we dive in, did you know that the winning team in a high school girls basketball game averaged scoring 55 points per game last season? Thanks to our partners at Crossover for making film sessions more efficient by clipping and tagging your plays for you. In as little as 12 hours, Crossover can provide you with interactive shot charts and advanced stats that you can access from any PC or mobile device. Visit crossoverwithak.com/puresweat to try a game for free. All right, let's jump in with Coach Planels. At Pure Sweat, we've created an acronym for culture, which is CLTR, which stands for communication, leadership, toughness, and respect, which we believe are four of the most important pillars of culture. Can you talk a little bit about what each of those means to you and to your program? Let's start with communication.
Well, I mean, communication is pretty much everything. You got to be able to talk. Well, you should be able to have great verbal communication and nonverbal communication.
Mm-hmm.
And communication, and the next one, I know you talk about leadership, and I'll just touch on both.
Please.
Of them. You know, silence is agreement. You know, if you don't say anything as a player to your teammate or a coach to your player, then you're agreeing with what they are doing. And so communication is vital. You know, there is no difference between feedback and criticism. Tone plays a difference in that. But if it's feedback or criticism, it's the same amount of information. So you got to be able to take that in, but you also got to be able to talk to other players with it. And I find today that because of the player's culture, there's not as much in-depth communication. Maybe it is on some other things, but on the court, you know, it's different things. If I make a post feed and I throw it to the wrong hand, the post player may not say anything. So
right.
In my mind, I'm like, well, I'm going to keep feeding that hand.
Right.
Post players got to say, hey, I like it here. And as the lead guard, I got to say, hey, where do you like the pass? On the leadership front, I know I'm jumping
all over. No, please jump all over. This is great.
But leadership is lonely, but leadership can also go ahead and be phenomenal if you do it. You got to talk as a leader.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not talking, then maybe no one can talk and you can never get them going in the right direction.
Love it.
You know, I've been lucky to see different sports programs, organizations, how their leadership, and there's different ways to think about it and what you do and how you do it. At the end of the day, being able to be a great leader means you have to be a great communicator and you have to have great, great service.
Yeah.
You know, you got to think of the person next to you, not of yourself.
When we had Tom Izzo on the show, he said something I thought was really profound. He said that a player-led team will always outperform a coach-led team in the long run. So obviously, you as a coach, your entire staff, your coaches, you're going to be leaders. But how important is it for the players to lead themselves?
It's extremely important. But what's even more important is teaching them how to do it.
Yeah.
Because I find it hilarious when I hear people saying, well, you know, we got this great player, but he or she, they're not a leader.
Yeah.
Well, when have they ever been taught to be a leader?
Right.
You know, think about this for a second. When they come to college, they were just in high school. And actually, high school is tougher than college. High school, you're waking up early. You're going to school from 8 to 3. And then you got practice. And then you have your shooting coach. And then you have strength conditioning coach. And then you have homework. Mommy and daddy or whoever is driving you around, you have no chance to ever, ever be a leader.
That's a good point.
You know, so even when you go to restaurants, you know, hey, you know, you sit down with your family. Hey, mommy is saying, hey, Johnny, would you like your chicken tenders again? Sure, mommy, I'll take that. You know, yeah. They don't even have that.
That's a good point.
And I find that with my son. My son's 16 years old, heck of a swimmer, but there is no leadership because he just doesn't know.
Yeah.
So when they come to the program, you have to teach them, and you teach them by giving them confidence.
Right.
When they have the confidence to speak up and talk to different people, When they're able to tell the truth in front of other people, they're able to self-evaluate. And that's tough because in high school, they may be the greatest thing since, you know, bread.
Right.
You know, so you got to teach them how to be a leader. And then from there, now you could be player-led, which will make it so much easier for the coach.
I love the way the, I mean, leadership is a skill. And the only way you improve any skill is to teach it and then have repetition. So if you had a player and you say, hey, they're not a very good shooter, you'd take them in the gym and you'd work on their shooting. So for a coach to say, you know, that player is not a very good leader, well, help them, teach them, guide them to be a good leader because it's no different than any of the other skills. Love that. And I agree completely that communication and leadership go hand in hand. Let's switch gears a little bit and talk about toughness. When you hear the word toughness, what does that make you think?
Well, I everyone thinks of Jay Billis's book, Toughness.
Yeah.
And, I mean, just the way he talks, and I've seen him on campus, and he's just a tough guy in general. But I think just like leadership, you must teach toughness.
Yes.
You know, no one is ever taught toughness. All they say is, hey, you got to be tougher.
Right.
Well, what that leads is players thinking, well, that means I just got to foul more.
Yeah.
I got to swipe
tough.
Yeah.
Look tough.
Yeah. That's that. Yeah. No, it's an aura. It's how you stand. It's how you walk into the room. It's how you don't back down to what people say. It's communicating, you know, toughness is telling your teammate, hey man, you can't do that.
Absolutely.
That's not our culture. You know, so that has to be taught. Now, I've gotten to some good heated arguments. Like, can you teach toughness to a non-tough personality?
Mm-hmm.
That is.
And what's
is
your answer? What side are you on the fence?
Well, you know what? I say no.
Really?
I think. Well, it's no.
Because I may slightly disagree with you, which will be fun.
You know, I think it's no when you want something right away. Mm-hmm. Now, 4 years down the road, they may have grown that because they grew maturity. But I think when it comes to overall toughness in terms of something every single day, I think it's really tough to do.
Okay, well, that's cool. I can live with that. You know, a lot of times...
Good, I was waiting
like,
for the argument.
No, it's, where I may play the devil's advocate a little bit is I think toughness can absolutely be improved, mm-hmm. but to what degree? It's kind of like on the performance side, vertical jump. I can't guarantee that I can give a player a 40-inch vertical jump. That was genetically predetermined at birth. But can every player make improvements to their vertical jump? Absolutely, just to a different degree. So I would imagine, you know, based on genetics and based on someone's upbringing and their foundation, everyone has a different ceiling for toughness. But I think some of the qualities of learning how to stay present, some of the qualities of being poised under pressure, I think those things can be improved to a degree. And I think, like you said, as coaches, it's our job to teach that, right. Not just to throw someone under the bus and say, ah, he or she's not tough, forget about it. No, try and help work with them to improve their toughness. But I would think, especially you being such a good recruiter, I'm sure that's one of the characteristics you're looking for in the players that you recruit, right, would be toughness.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we have to.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we're looking at players, and usually we have a couple of really good players who the first thing I said, she's tough.
Yeah.
You know, but of course, how that translates to the college level is entirely different because it's a different environment.
Yeah.
It's a different breeding ground, feeding ground, everything. I think, too, also as a coach, you got to be realistic as much as you can. I think too many times coaches give up on a player. You know, when I say that they can't get tougher, It's a little, there's a gray area.
Yeah, of course.
Because just because there's like, well, I don't know how tough they're going to get doesn't mean we give up.
Right.
We keep going. We keep pushing. And maybe there's some switches that turn in.
Yeah.
But a lot of us older coaches, they want them to be like 35-year-old tough.
Right.
And that's not going to happen at 18 years old.
Not without 35 years of experience.
That's right.
To get tough.
Yeah.
All right, let's hit the last pillar. Respect. When you just hear the word respect, as when we're talking about in the coaching community and in the basketball bubble, what do you think of?
You know,
because there's a lot of ways to go with this.
There totally is. Now, you know, as a coach, we talk about respect and we think about the way we were taught respect growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I probably sound like an 80-year-old man with my voice, but no, it's like we look at, like, you know, back in my day, you know, we respected the head coach. We did this, we did that. And I would argue that respect today is just different
mm-hmm.
than it was. It's not worse, not better, but I think there's just a different teaching point when it comes to players and people, just how they are taught.
For sure.
I think today in parenting, everybody's is friends. Not a knock on that.
Right.
But, you know, I think respect and actually millennials go hand in hand. Everybody says millennials have no respect whatsoever.
Right.
When the reality is that we can't blame the millennials.
Right.
We really, and I'm sorry, I'm a parent. Right. We got to blame the parents.
Yeah.
You know, that's where they come from. But
we raised them.
Yes. To not, exactly. Right. Yeah. Exactly. But respect, I know in our program, respect is about what do the coaches say? Respect for each other.
Mm-hmm.
Respect for the game.
Yes. I was glad you hit on
that. You know, which I think a lot of players forget because mm-hmm. their respect for the game is really just knowing LeBron James and right. Kobe Bryant. You know, respect the game goes way past beyond that.
Without
for
question.
The people who given them opportunities. And we forget, and I think it's our job, it's high school coaches' job, it's AU coaches' jobs, to go ahead and kind of remind them and have those standards that come with it. Respect is also doing something for your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's huge. I hear too much like, no, that person's got to respect me and for what I've done and,
right.
and this and that. I understand. But in order to gain respect, you must give respect.
Without question.
And those are things that I think we run into roadblocks from time to time as a nation.
Of course.
And we just got to improve upon that.
And I think you have to respect yourself. If you have a high sense of self and you respect yourself, that's going to help you with your decision-making process. And speaking of that, I think you have to have a respect for the process. That yes. if you're a freshman coming into a place like Duke, you can't have an air of entitlement that I'm just going to step in right away and play. You need to respect the process. And the process is there are players here that have been here for 3 or 4 years putting in work brick by brick to earn their playing time or their status on the team, and you have to respect the process to do the same. But I love that you're talking about respecting teammates, respecting yourself, respecting your coaches, respecting the game is such a big one, respecting the process. That's one of the reasons we make that a pillar. There are so many different areas that you have to have respect in order for you to be the best player and coach that you can be.
Yeah, I think the process is very important. And I think when players today think of the process, what they see is a long road.
Mm-hmm.
They don't quite understand yet that if you listen to coaches, if you go ahead and watch video, if you take the improvements and what you need to do to improve, you could actually shortcut that process.
Yeah.
And they don't see it. They say, like, wow, I got to get all the way over there. When, hey, because they're fighting with coaches. They're fighting with teammates. You know, they're only hearing stuff from probably their parents' side or high school coaches' side when it's like, no, you know, think about the different things you can do. How can we improve upon? And then they'll see that they'll start snipping away at that process.
Yeah.
And it'll come closer because different things could happen that'll lead for them to perform sooner.
That's it for us. Thank you so much for listening. I hope Coach Plannelles and I helped you raise your game. We want to thank our friends at Dr. Dish for revolutionizing basketball training with their state-of-the-art shooting machines and detailed training analytics. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com. And if you don't mind, we'd really appreciate you making the time to go to iTunes and leave us a rating and review. All right, it's time to get back in the gym.